circled with a red line. Sam squinted. It was a footprint. But as the forum members discussed, there were no casts of footprints taken or discussed anywhere in the files surrounding the case. The question started, was this footprint purposely omitted during the investigation? Overlooked? Or are we looking at evidence of some club-footed Red River police officer who potentially disturbed the crime scene? They debated late into the night, Sam unsure what to believe except for one thing, that whatever had happened, it left the real killer free. Her obsession started 18 years after the first documentary. Seriously, I know it's not your type of thing, but you'll love it. It's unbelievable. It'll make you so angry, her boyfriend Mark had said, his face lit up by the glow of the monitor. Sam was sitting next to him in his bed, in the house he still shared with his parents. As the story unfolded on screen, everything else started to fade away. At the heart of it, the boy, too young for the suit he wore in court, blue eyes blinking confused at the camera, alone and afraid. It hurt her to look at him, beautiful in an ugly room, harsh light and severe edges, his own face so soft with sadness. Dennis Danson, barely 18 years old, alone on death row. After the film ended, she wanted more. She wanted answers. I told you, Mark said. I told you it'd make you furious. Soon, Dennis occupied her waking thoughts and lingered on the edges of her dreams, always too far away to speak to or hold, his fingers slipping from hers. So she joined online groups, a dedicated fandom that pored over every photograph, witness statement, court transcript, coroner report, and alibi. They debated minute details until Sam felt exhausted but unable to stop, digging for a truth that could right all the wrongs that had led to this point. There were subgroups who passionately defended their theories. They suspected Holly's stepfather, or the sex offenders who lived in trailer parks on the outskirts of town. They drew comparisons with other unsolved murders across America, which conjured an image of a transient evil, a trucker fueled by dark fantasies, a man who lived by night and killed alone. Then there were the conspiracy theorists, those who thought the whole Red River police force were covering for a ring of local paedophiles who had some kind of hold on them. Sam believed it was simpler than that. A week before the murder, a short man had been reported outside the middle school. He'd been stopping the children as they walked past, asking them for the time. He said he'd lost his watch and asked if they would help him look for it, with a promise of a reward. A mother who was picking up her boys approached him, telling the police later that he had made her suspicious, that he had been acting cagey, his eyes darting as he spoke. He was unknown in the relatively small community and had fled the scene before the police arrived. The man's presence had left the parents feeling uncomfortable, and teachers patrolled the school gates each morning and afternoon as an added precaution. With very little to go on, the police filed the incident and put it to the back of their minds. No crime had been committed, and the man didn't return to the school. A week later, Holly was reported missing. On the message boards, they referred to him as the short man. The police interviewed the mothers again, and a composite sketch of the short man was published in the paper and posted around the town. But the search turned up no suspects and no leads. Eventually, the police dropped the line of investigation entirely and, seemingly under pressure to make an arrest, focused on other rumours. Still, the forums followed up the short man theory, comparing mugshots of recently arrested sex offenders to the police sketch. Sam read the threads obsessively and marvelled at the investigative skills of the fellow posters, the way their minds could identify the clues that the police had once missed and create stories that seemed so much like the truth that had been missing. There were other forums about other cases with other victims. There were other documentaries and podcasts and TV shows. But Framing the Truth, the murder of Holly Michaels, was the one that spoke to so many people, that grabbed them and wouldn't let go. Sam read everything she could on the internet, signed petitions to get new evidence admitted in court, the footprint, a statement from a family member about the stepfather's alibi, and found the message board she now browsed obsessively. They were all driven by the desire for the truth, to free the man at the center of the case, a victim of a gross miscarriage of justice. The fans connected with Dennis on a deep level. In part because after his arrest, over the years, they watched him change.